Do not adjust your radio dial.
Okay, people, listen up.
As mankind marches into the future, the dependence on technology will only increase. Sometimes technology advances faster than understanding. That's where we come in.
You're babbling. You're not making any sense. You're hysterical.
Computers 99 on 850 The Buzz with your host, Amnon Nisan.
His voice has been processed to protect his identity.
And co-host Larry Dye.
Freak, weirdo, freak, weak.
Hello!
Your own personal bodyguards from the Y2K bug. Think of them as your guides to the world of binary digits and random access memory. Computers 99 with Amnon and Larry. They may be geeks.
What did he say?
But at least they know what they're doing.
$8.50 The Buzz. Good morning, everybody. You are tuned to Computers 2000 on Sports Radio $8.50 The Buzz. I'm Anon, your host for the next 2 hours, along with Larry Dye.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. And our producer extraordinaire sitting there, Jenny, Jennifer. How do you want me to call you?
Whatever you like.
We're going to call you whatever you like.
I'm not touching that.
I thought your name was Jennifer.
Jennifer's just fine.
Remember, we're geeks. We're very literal.
Our number is 860-0850. Star at 50 on your Bell South Mobility DCS phone. Pound 850 on your Altel cell phone. And these are free calls. And Computers 2000 is sponsored today by Bell South Mobility DCS. And you can call them at 1-888-327-2001 to get wireless for as low as $10 a month. $10 a month. Also sponsored by the Computer Exchange. They sell, buy, and trade new and pre-owned computer equipment located in Raleigh on Six Forks Road across from North Hills Mall and in Cary in the Crossroads Shopping Center, the Computer Exchange. We're also brought to you by Mindspring. And you can call Mindspring at 1-888-MSPRING or on the World Wide Web at www.mindspring.com. Okay, we pay them bills. What's wrong?
Very sad.
Oh, look, he's got his lip out.
Right.
What happened?
Bill, we don't have Bill to kick around anymore.
Yes, we do.
Well, it's been
besides, I've got news for you.
What?
You never kicked him. You never kicked him. Trust me. Maybe you thought you did, but you did not.
Sorry, Bill.
You didn't. Nobody kicks Bill.
Big news this week.
Yeah.
Huge news.
How huge?
So huge.
Yeah.
Well, Bill Gates stepped down as the CEO of Microsoft. So for the first time in 20 years.
Yeah, but I mean, he wants a little bit of, he needs a break. Besides, Ballmer is just like his...
He's like joined at the hip, right?
Yeah.
And they were almost identical twins, I think. It's pretty amazing, though. I mean,
Who's going to run Microsoft?
Steve Ballmer.
You believe that?
That's what Bill says.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Bill's going to go back to be the...
Chief geek?
The chief geek. This is a little bit scary, since the guy who... There's a very good story, very funny story in a book about the called Showstoppers, which is about the writing of Microsoft Windows NT, the very first one, which was Microsoft's attempt to move into professional workstations. And they brought over a guy from Digital, brilliant programmer, senior IT guy. And he was reviewing all the code that Microsoft had in their operating systems, DOS and Windows 3.1. And one day he had, in a meeting, he looked at this piece of code and he goes, "This is just junk. Who wrote this crap?" Well, there was no comment.
You were there.
No, I read this. This was testified to by several people. And, of course, no one said anything. And later it was told him... Bill wrote that. So, it's always been an issue of just how good, if he really is a programmer. I mean, it doesn't matter in the end because he runs a business that hires a bunch of good programmers.
Yeah. That's the way to do it.
Having him as chief tech officer is a little, I mean, that's the point of the story, is that, is he really good to be the chief tech officer?
These are just words and titles. Yeah. Meaningless.
He still owns, he still has $88 billion, dollars, so
forget
who cares,
that.
Right?
Yep, forget that.
Right, who cares?
Yeah. Anyway.
Nobody cares.
The other thing that happened this week.
Ooh, other big thing.
And this is huge.
This is a very huge.
This is AOL and Time Warner. You know, so I feel kind of a little bit sad.
Why?
Because the fiber that Delta Force has into the internet,
right?
The OC3, everything is a Time Warner. I mean, the deal is with Time Warner.
So AOL owns you now.
So now AOL is like I'm giving money to AOL too. Ah, but what can you do? I think it's going to be great for AOL. I don't know what it's going to do for Time Warner. I really don't. But for AOL, it is the perfect thing.
Oh, absolutely. And what I guess I objected to was to listen to these Steve Case and the guy who heads Time Warner tell us how really the deal is going to be good for humanity. I was going to start vomiting on the floor. Because you're right, it's going to be good for AOL.
Yeah, AOL now can...
They now have what they want.
Yeah.
Their broadband. Own fiber, their yeah. own broadband.
Right. And they didn't have that before, so this will make it good for them.
And other than all the stock market implications, which none of us really have any control over, I guess what I want to know is what people think is going to be for them. I mean, I listened to Gates.
Casey.
I had Gates on the mind. Hi, Bill. You're mind-melding with me, I know. I listened to Case and talked to on one of the news shows, going, well, this is what's going to happen. You can watch a football game on your television, on your computer screen, and you can be sending emails, and you can be checking your stock prices, and you can be recording your favorite music. And I'm going, but who does that?
Did you ever use a computer?
Who cares about it?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, that's really the issue. What are we going to gain out of this as consumers?
860-0850, star 50 on your Bell South and Bell to DCS phone, pound at 50 on your Alltel cell phone. We want to hear from you.
Yeah, tell us if you think you're going to gain anything. I mean, we just saw an ad before we came in here today on TV about AOL and about their community.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I mean, come on. Let's give people a chance to say what they want without... swaying in.
Everybody knows we think it's AOL. We've been talking about
that. A couple other things.
Yes.
That I want to hear from the audience. There was a big blunder over at Northwest Airlines with credit card numbers, mileage, that they claim that that their secured side was left unsecured for certain length of time.
How do you do that?
I mean, that's my question. How do you do that? I mean, you know, you have to go in and program it and take, for those that don't know how these work, the secure side, how do you know when you are on a secure side and not on a secure side? We always hear http://www.deltaforce.net. Well, this is a regular site, unsecured. When it's secured, they never tell you the URL, but if you look at the URL, you'll see that it says HTTPS for secured. https://www.deltaforce.net. This is in the code, in the HTML code. It's a very simple thing. And if a programmer forgot, or why would anybody take it out?
No.
Because, I mean, it just doesn't make sense.
Do the word hack mean anything to you?
Well, yeah, no. So now, the feeling is that a lot of consumers are going to be worried about security on the net and will back off from using credit cards on the net. And that's not true. I don't think so. The thing is to be aware of what's going on. Don't just put a blanket no on the internet for security, be aware of what's going on. And the thing that that everybody should be aware of and diligent about is secured passwords. And why do I come to passwords? Because in another case this past week, a few ISPs were hacked and a bunch of accounts were stolen and kids were trying to hack into universities and nuclear facilities with these accounts. Now, they also stole a lot of credit card numbers. And there was a case of, that was a thing 2 weeks ago, that somebody was wanted ransom for, I don't know how many
right.
thousands.
Or we'll turn over all this.
Yeah,
all
and yeah. posted it on a website. Now, remember one thing. First of all, if they get an account from an ISP, it's worthless unless they can break the passwords. There are programs out there to break passwords, and the way they work is they go and they look at all the words. They have the words in them that are in any dictionary. A lot of people want to use easy words. The most common complaint that I have from my subscribers and customers at Delta Force is, why are the passwords so cryptic? And that is why. So people will not be able to break them. If you have an easy password, people can break it, and then they can impersonate you to another website, and the other website will think it was you. So you have to make sure that you have a password that is unbreakable. And really, there are unbreakable passwords. Unless somebody is really going to sit on it for hours and days with a I don't know how many computers and try to break it, which nobody does. It's just like the club in a car. A thief sees it, says, oh, forget this. I'll go to another car that doesn't have it. It's the same thing with passwords. If they can't break it, if they can't easily break it, they know that they can find 1,000 others that are easily breakable. So you have to make sure that you have a good password. And a good password is, it will be made from one uppercase, at least one uppercase, one of the funny characters like at or pound or asterisk, any of those, numbers, and lowercase.
And two sounds.
Very good one. No. And, not four characters or three characters, but go six and up. And true, it's these passwords are not easy at all to remember. They're actually almost impossible to remember. So you have to have them written down, but have them written down in a place where you don't just put a sticker on the computer that if you're in the office that everybody can come in and look at it. At home, it's a little bit different. What you will do by doing that is help the internet become more secure. That's what, if everybody will do this, and everybody is on the internet is listening to us now.
At least
then,
half of them.
Yeah.
Yes, okay.
Then,
oh, excuse me.
Then everything will be really nice. Yeah. Will really be nice. I mean, it will allow people to feel, hey, yeah, you know, they went and they got everybody's, but they couldn't do anything with mine. The other important thing about ISPs also is I can't, to save my life, I don't understand why any ISP will keep the credit card numbers and accounts on a machine where somebody can break into. Why?
Well, they just don't.
There is no reason for it.
They don't think it through.
The good companies out there, I mean, and I do business with companies that are, they don't even keep your credit card number online. They use it and it's gone. Next time you want something from them, you can't say, well, you have it. No, we don't have it.
Right.
Give it to us again. I don't understand why ISPs will keep credit cards online.
Let me ask you this about passwords, because we do this at work. Requiring people to change them regularly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right. Okay.
That's a very good practice.
They expire.
Especially. Right. Now, when you go to change a password, I'll tell you what, let's talk about this when we come back.
Okay.
You turn to Computers 2000 on Sports Radio 850.
You almost did it again.
Yep. And when we come back from the break, we're going to have Matt King, a blind person who is working for IBM, talking to us about some hardware that they are developing. He's going to call from Colorado Springs, where he's practicing for the Sydney Olympics. He's a cyclist. Yep. So your calls also are coming up next, right here on Sports Radio 850. The Buzz. Welcome back to Computers 2000 on Sports Radio 850 The Buzz. Our number again, 860-0850, star 850 on your Bell South Mobility DCS phone, pound 850 on your Alltel cell phone. And these are free calls. And I don't know what happened to our guest, but we didn't get him. He didn't call in yet. So we'll just, I guess, wait. We'll just wait and...
Wait with bated breath.
Yep.
But I don't know what that means. What does bated breath mean?
I don't know.
Do you have to brush your teeth and get rid of it?
No. Oh, okay. No, I don't think
so. I just wondered.
No, I don't think so.
It's
I wonder if he cannot get through to the hotline. Jennifer, why don't you tell her, did you have the contest line number, the 875-0062? 875-0062, give her that, because maybe there's something wrong with the hotline. So see if she can get in touch with him to have him call on that. In the meantime.
We're just sort of playing Jeopardy over here.
Oh, hush.
It's a technology show. We're supposed to have all this figured out.
No, it's fine. This is technology. That's it. There's nothing, really, I mean... There's no reason to hide anything. You know, when something happens, something like this happens, it happens. What's the big deal? You know, it's technology. That's what it is. Anyway, so back to
passwords. Ask you about changing them regularly.
When you go in to change a password,
mm-hmm.
does it require you to have a certain format, or it just wants you to change it?
Well... That's a good question.
Somebody is not doing it.
No, I change it.
Somebody is not doing it.
But what I did find out is that there's a list of old passwords that you cannot replay. I mean,
you can't go back and use it. Can you put in George? Can you put in Larry D? You know,
no, it has to be a certain length.
A certain length. Can you put Larry Dial?
Yes.
You can. You see, that's the bad thing.
For this internal network, you can do that.
Well, internal or external, once people gain access to the internal network, then they can break the, when they come in from the external, from the internet, then they can break into the internal network and do it.
Right.
So this is why, I mean, from day one when we started, and this is something that I learned from Ron. I mean, I can't take credit for this. I'm big in security, but I mean, the way to do this was Ron Becker's, his idea in the beginning. Is to have it the format like I said, you know, a number and
right.
uppercase and funny card. And when you try to change a password on Delta Force, you have to go that way. It will not allow you to enter something simple. And this is the trick. This is how you bring the percentage of, you know, the odds of somebody breaking in down to a bare minimum.
So how do we manage all these passwords?
You have to write them down.
And what happens if you lose the paper?
Then you're in trouble. No, I mean,
people do this.
You know, I mean, how do you keep up with your keys? You have it on a keychain. What if you lose your keys? You know, it's the same thing. How do you manage your credit cards? You have a bunch of numbers. What if you lose them? You know, you keep your credit card with you to give to a store, and you keep all 20 of them, whatever, with you.
I just hate it when you're right.
And this is what you do. You have to learn how to, because it is not a game anymore.
No, most definitely.
It is a way of life. It's becoming something that is, this is how things are happening these days. And you are standing a chance to lose a lot if something happens. So you have to take it seriously. It's not just an online service that you just log in and play a game. You're logging into to a service that has a lot of information right there. And you have to make sure that it is as secure as you can make it.
Well,
don't say, well, all the other people don't do that. You do it. Because if they did break into that ISP or into that service where you were on,
right,
they may be able to get information from the other accounts, but not from yours. That's not exactly true, because if they break in and they keep these, the services keeping the credit cards online, then that's not encrypted. But that's the other thing, is why anybody would want to keep, other than bad programming and laziness, to phrase it.
Well,
there's no reason to keep the credit cards, any accounting, right. On right there, right. On the net where it's available to other people.
Okay. No, you convinced me. The only issue I ever have had with this is, personally, it gets difficult to keep track of all the passwords.
Sure. So?
And that's it. I mean...
So? Life is difficult.
Do we have to?
Yes!
It's Sunday morning.
You have to. Anyway, 860-0850, *850 on your Bell cell phone, Bell DCS phone, #850 on your Altel cell phone. And these are free calls. And we want to hear from you, your thoughts about what we're talking about. Now, Medgear, my favorite hardware manufacturer,
yes,
also came up with a box, a router box for home or small office, that does the cable or ADSL services. You don't have to open the machine. It's single. It has dual Ethernet on it. That's all you have to do is just plug it into your computer, plug the ADSL into it, and everything is running,
which is
really nice.
Now this and it's a hub also, so you can distribute it through.
Well, I don't know if it's a hub or not, but that's no big deal. You know, a hub is no big deal.
You just run this to a hub and run that out of a hub.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. I mean, that really helps.
Let's talk real quick here to Tim. Tim, good morning.
Good morning. I was calling about a year ago. I had my computer upgraded. I had a larger hard drive put in. I put in a video card and a new memory chip.
Uh-huh.
And also the increase the speed of the coprocessor.
Right.
When all that was done, I had a problem that the only thing I didn't change was the CD drive, the compact disk drive.
Uh-huh.
And at the end of all that, the computer wouldn't read the files that are in the root drive of the CD drive. The root directory of the CD, where, like when it tells you to, in Windows it says go to /setup.
Yeah.
It won't find those files. I can go in through DOS or through Windows, and I can see what folders are there, but it never shows me anything that's on the root drive. So I took it back to the shop, and I thought they had fixed it, but yesterday I went, and I haven't installed any programs in a year,
mm-hmm.
and yesterday I went to install three things, and once again I was where...
What were you trying to install?
A Britannica Encyclopedia.
Okay.
And
that's
two discs of clip art.
That's all right. Okay. I would say that you have a problem with the driver for that CD. What size, what speed CD is it?
It was an old one. It was a 2x.
And is it plugged into the motherboard or to a card?
I don't know, because I never went in there.
Oh, I thought you changed the...
Oh, no, I took it to the store.
Oh, okay. Well, it's about time you... Anyway, let's not waste time on this. Get us a fast CD.
Yeah, well...
I mean, they are real cheap, and they plug directly to the motherboard, and they work great.
Well, do I need the spec on my...
No.
On my computer to see where it plugs in?
No, because they plug into an IDE port. What kind of computer do you have?
IBM
clone. No, not the make. I mean, is it a Pentium? Is it a 486?
No, it's a Pentium 133.
Yeah, there's no problem. It plugs directly like another hard drive. Straight through. And they cost about $60-$70.
Yeah, I was out looking yesterday, and I saw some that would say that they're now plug and play.
Absolutely. Well, plug and play to a point. You still need a driver, and they come with a driver. So it is a real simple installation.
Okay. Do you think if I go in there and look at the way the one that's in there now, that I can just follow the wiring?
No, absolutely not.
No.
Because yours is probably going into a card if it's a two-speed.
Okay.
But there are complete instructions, and even if you took it to the store to do it where you buy it, it'll take him probably 15 minutes to do it.
Oh, okay. Okay, thank you.
All right. Sure, Tim. Thanks.
Bye.
Thanks for calling 850 The Buzz. And tell you what, let's go. Let's see. Matt.
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Did you have a problem getting into the first number that you were trying to? Never mind. Sorry.
We got it straightened out.
Okay. It looks like we're going to have to break it into two because we're going to have to break in the middle to a commercial, but that's okay. Let me just introduce you here short. We're talking with Matt King, and Matt has been with IBM for 10 years. You're an employee at IBM, and you are right now training for the Olympics at Sydney?
For the Paralympics in Sydney, Australia.
And you are a tandem cyclist.
That is correct.
And you're using a computer, you're working at IBM, and you are blind.
That is correct.
And we have quite a few of listeners who are blind, and we every now and then we talk about different things that they have to go through in order to use a computer. What got you to get into computers? How did you get to work for IBM?
Well,
I might add that you graduated from Notre Dame.
Yeah, when I was at Notre Dame and in the electrical engineering program there, working with computers was of course an essential part of the program, and so I guess that was one of the fundamental driving forces there as to how I got started working with computers. As I did, actually, the computer field became more and more interesting to me, and I actually worked my computer my electrical engineering degree into one with a computer engineering specialty. And I actually hired right out of Notre Dame into IBM.
They just came and snatched you.
Yeah, they really did, actually. It was very much like that.
When was this?
That would have been 89.
And where were we back then as far as tools for the visually impaired?
Well, it was a very different time. Of course, it was pre-Windows.
Mm-hmm.
So everything was text-based. Primarily, it was mostly a DOS world where we were starting to see a lot of graphical applications at that point in a lot of designs, in a lot of fields, like, for instance, circuit design was something that I was doing, and at that time I had to have somebody help me with the programs
mm-hmm.
that did that because when they came up on the screen, there was no text at all. It was drawn graphically right into the video buffer, and the screen reader, DOS screen reader, couldn't do anything with it at all.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very shortly after that, actually about 1 year after I started in IBM, that I started using OS 2. And, of course, that was completely graphical user interface, and it was a new environment, but actually turned out to be a very productive environment for a blind computer user with IBM Screen Reader 2. Jim Thatcher and the rest of the special needs system did a really good job of making it superior to the DOS world.
Yeah, there were a lot of changes and big changes when people went from the DOS environment to the Windows as far as the screen readers. And I've seen some of these, and they are amazing. Tell you what, Matt, I'm going to put you back on hold. We're going to break away for a commercial, and then we'll come back and pick up where we left off, okay?
Okay.
All right. And your calls are coming up next, right after Jennifer does another ticker, right here on Sports Radio 850, The Buzz. Welcome back to Computers 2000 on Sports Radio 850, The Buzz. And Matt, you there?
Yes.
Oh, good. Welcome back. Again, we're talking with Matt King of IBM, and we're talking about, and tell us what it is. What does it mean, assistive technologies?
Assistive technology is any kind of hardware or software that you can install in or attach to your computer that would assist a person with a disability in using the computer and getting the same out of it, you know, the same functionality and usability that anybody else would be able to get out of it. So in the case of the blind, primary assistive technology is, R2, really the screen reader and braille display.
Mm-hmm.
The screen readers nowadays in the Windows environment are often already accompanied with a software voice synthesizer, which is a text-to-speech program that when the screen reader, say, reads a line of a word processor document to the blind person, it's sending text to the voice synthesizer, and the voice synthesizer translates that into speech.
Right.
At the same time, it can send the same text to a braille display, and the braille display will translate that text into braille characters.
Now, this has also something to do with HTML. What do we call this one? The homepage reader?
Yes, the homepage reader is a combination product. Like a screen reader, it includes its own voice synthesizer and text-to-speech engine, along with a specialized type of screen reader, one that reads HTML documents that are served to it by Netscape. So the IBM homepage reader user is enabled to read HTML documents very efficiently because of the user interface that's customized to the types of needs that somebody would have while browsing HTML. For instance, very fundamental commands are things like moving between links, moving between different types of constructs on a page, say from the beginning of a table to the first line that's outside of a table,
mm-hmm.
Moving between items, and so on and so forth, and commands that make it very easy to do things like fill out forms.
Okay, now, does that mean that blind people now can actually turn their graphics on? Does it do anything different?
It doesn't do anything different.
Okay.
If the graphics are turned on in Netscape, then of course the sighted user who's using the computer at the same time as the blind user would be able to see all those graphics. In most cases now, the blind person does not have to turn off graphics in order for them to browse the page. It just
Makes it more
difficult. It makes it longer to get it down.
Yeah.
So
now, this program is available to download free, correct?
You can download a trial version.
A trial version, yeah.
For free. And it's available at IBM's Special Needs Systems website. That website is, the Special Needs Systems Group is based in Austin, Texas. And the website is www.austin.ibm.com/SNS for Special Needs Systems.
Okay, www.austin.ibm.com/SNS.
Yeah, that is correct.
Okay.
Now, that website not only has homepage reader demonstration, but a wealth of information that is useful
for
just to blind computer users, but to anyone who is developing any kind of hardware or software in the computer industry, because what we have there are sections of guidelines on accessible design of, we have special guidelines for HTML, Java, other forms of computer programs that people may code in C or some other base language. Then there's also hardware design criteria, and then we also have special sections on developing in the Lotus Notes 4.5 and Lotus Notes 5 environments.
Okay. Matt, we're running out of time here, the way that it works. I do want you to tell us, you're a cyclist and you are, let's go away from the computers a second, and you are training for the special, what is it?
I'm training for the Paralympics.
Paralympics.
Yeah. In Sydney, Australia, immediately following the Olympics.
How did you get to become a cyclist? What drove you?
Actually, I've been a cyclist all my life. And I, as a young child, was not able to see well enough to race, but I could ride a bike on my own. I kind of did my own forms of racing.
Mm-hmm.
And when I, losing the rest of my sight was, when it came to cycling, almost a gift because it opened up my eyes to the world of tandem cycling.
Mm-hmm.
And that, of course, allowed me to jump into the racing world. And through the U.S. Association of Blind Athletes, I was introduced to that world and in 1995 and took to it right away. A year and a half later was competing in the 1996 Paralympics.
Wow.
In Atlanta. I actually took a leave of absence from IBM to train full-time prior to those games. I really needed it. I had a lot of catching up to do, so to speak. I was already well fit, given having been a cycling enthusiast, but didn't have experience at the elite level prior to that season. Then I did well enough in Atlanta that I was invited by USABA and the U.S. Olympic Committee to come to train in Colorado Springs, Colorado, at the Olympic Training Center here. And IBM has given me a tremendous amount of flexibility in my schedule and work location and so forth. So I've been able to train from Colorado Springs while working for a manager in Somers, New York.
Mm-hmm. And we know you're going to bring the gold, so don't worry about that. Real quick. Yeah, you and somebody else. real quick. Do you see yourself staying with IBM for the next 10 years?
Yeah, it's
is it going to be challenging enough?
IBM, I actually am in a situation right now where the work that I'm currently doing is the best work I feel like I've ever done in my life. When I started out at IBM, I was working in manufacturing, and I wasn't sure if I saw myself staying there for a whole lot longer. But when I got involved in doing what I'm now doing, I feel like I'm in the area of really helping people as we try to get this world more accessible for people with disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
computers, although I've always had a love-hate relationship with them, like a lot of people do. But to me, I felt like the majority of my frustration came because I was a blind computer user. Not because I was a computer user, mm-hmm. because I was a blind computer user. I couldn't stand that, still can't, and I'm, you know, sort of a personal vendetta. I got to get rid of this problem. You know, we need to have the normal level of frustration in using a computer. We don't need all this extra frustration.
Right. I agree 100%. Things will get to the point where it'll probably level it, that you will not have that extra frustration. Also, we hear a lot of news about new technology, how to allow people like you to be able to see to a point the thing with
Stevie Wonder.
Stevie Wonder.
There's all kinds of exciting technology going on
that will help.
Being developed, and IBM intends to play a big role.
Yeah, they need to.
So I'm very happy to be a part of IBM doing that.
All right, Matt, I want to thank you.
Thank you.
And good luck at the games.
Thank you. Use every ounce of that I can get.
and have fun training, and maybe we'll have you here again after you come back.
Yeah, hopefully to be with the gold.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
And have a good one over there at Colorado Springs.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And your calls are coming up next right here on Sports Radio 850. The Buzz. Welcome back to Computers 2000 on Sports Radio 850 The Buzz. Well, this is going to be a short segment here, about a minute and a half. I'm going to have to break out again. So why don't we do the Microsoft thing next?
Yeah, right. The big saucer in the sky will come down, and you think maybe the captain retired?
I hear a wee.
Yeah, by the way, I'm going to put that website. I'll give it to you. We'll have it up on our... Up on our page. That's the website for assisted technology references from IBM, and it'll be there.
Special.
It's special in SNS.
Special needs
services.
Services.
Yeah, WWF Austin. Don't worry, folks. We'll be up there. We'll get it up there.
It will be up there, and next week we're going to have a few copies of the commercial.
Oh, good.
To give
for people.
Away.
Terrific.
To give away.
That'll be great.
So, guys, be ready for that. I don't know. I mean, this is not something that we need. I think we're going to have enough to give the...
To our regular
blind listeners so they can play with it, because this is not something... I don't think we need to give it away as a contest.
Yeah.
No. And speaking about contests...
Oh, God. Folks, wait till you see what he's got. He's lifting... It's giving him a hernia... it's a 40-pound computer book.
It's a book from Sam's, Dell 5.5 Developer's Guide. Don't laugh. This book is $60. $60.
Who's laughing? It's worth every pound of it.
It's got a CD. Yeah, it's by the weight. It's a big book. If any of you is into Delphi and developing in it, we're going to give it away to a caller number something in the next hour.
But you got to go to the Oracle to find what Delphi says. Ah! Never mind. I just thought of that.
Let me turn off his mic again.
I've been quiet all morning.
Just to be on the safe side.
Grr.
And your calls are coming up next in the next hour, right here on Sports Radio 850, The Buzz.